Author's note. This chapter is where we pay more attention to Sokka's tendency to invalidate his own feelings. Also, Ragey Sokka, which hopefully isn't out of character and makes sense because of his loss. Chapter 20. The Wolf's Interlude. The first days are hazy, punctuated only by a sense of terrible, terrible loss and pain. Sokka thrashes, snaps and snarls at any hands that come near. He thinks he hears a female voice, both scolding and crying. Please, Sokka, I'm trying to help you. Please let me. Worried gray eyes saying, Sokka, it's Aang. It's just Aang. But worst of all, Sokka sees tortured golden eyes and pale cheekbones being made to bleed. He yearns and he reaches until it hurts. But that golden gaze turns away and splinters into nothing. 5 months pass. At least Sokka thinks it's been 5 months. Because it's been 5 full moons he stood under as a worried Katara watches on, trying to draw from the full moon's strength, casting and stretching his senses to the point of utter exhaustion, trying to feel along that gold-blue thread, calling with increasing desperation to call upon the soul bond. But his soul bonded, that infuriatingly stubborn, reckless, self-sacrificing jerkbender at the other end, remained silent, unresponsive to Sokka's call. As much as Sokka wants to tear the continent apart looking for Zuko, and the role reversal that is the Fire Nation prince being hunted by Team Avatar should have been fucking hilarious, but it really, really isn't. Avatar babysitting and Aang wrangling duties continue. Against all odds, they find an earthbending teacher for Aang. Toph is tiny and obnoxious, and the kind of person that solves a problem by throwing a rock at it. She's unapologetically herself, and Sokka's kind of glad she's on the good guy's side, because he's pretty sure she'd start a war if there wasn't already one. Sokka likes that her stubbornness and utter willingness to pick a fight reminds him of Zuko on a good day. He thinks the two could get along very well, should they ever get the chance to meet. The soul bond hums. When they meet, Sokka amends with renewed determination. A wolf never gives up on its pack. One of the strange, unexpected things that is part of getting to know someone is cataloging the unspoken inventory of things that make them who they are, like the specific tilt of their lips when they're trying not to smile, and the dimple of their cheeks, the particular lilt of their laugh, a shout only their lungs could reach, a move only they knew how to execute with perfect form. Golden eyes haunt Sokka's dreams, ironically similar, but completely different from his childhood nightmares. And Zuko becomes Sokka's ghost. Some days, Sokka trains with Boomerang and waterbends until all his limbs are sore, and he has no choice but to surrender to exhaustion. Those pain-filled days are the best days, because he no longer feels like ripping into his own skin. Wow, is this how angry and wrong and trapped Zuko feels all the time? Sokka wonders as he lies panting in the dirt. No wonder the guy was always spitting fire and shouting. Sokka hoped he would be able to see the sight again. Next time, he would march up to him and hug and tease him until the angry turtle duck breathing flame would become docile in his arms. I am going to be so nice to you, you won't know how to handle it. Sokka swears. Zuko just needs to still be there. They're hurting him, Katara. Sokka honest to spirits whimpers after he falls to his knees, the sixth time it's a full moon and he fails to reach Zuko. Katara soothes him like the siblings had taken turns to do for each other after Mom had died and Dad had sailed away. She soothes him like they were younger, children again. She doesn't judge him when he sobs and doesn't flinch when he punches the stone cracks of the earth until his knuckles bleed. It's okay, Sokka. I know. What do you know? Sokka shouts at her, a clear sign he's lost his mind, because Katara has never been one to let someone talk her down, not even her obnoxious brother. But her obnoxious grieving brother is a different matter, so Katara doesn't shout back. She's always been able to read Sokka well, read when he needs a push or when he needs a gentle hand, and more so, her heart has always been unmatched except possibly to Aang. I know you're angry, she says kindly. It's okay to be. The mercy in her refusal to engage in his provocation makes Sokka feel bad, so he tries to rein himself in with a good old attempt at humor. Sorry, I'm being a drama queen. Sokka mutters, trying to joke. Looks like the jerkbender's a bad influence on me. Stop that, Katara says sharply. You're not being a drama queen. Stop it, Sokka. You don't have to put yourself down and hide with a joke. Sokka flinches at the brutally honest call out. Sokka, look at me. There's no stopping Katara when she gets like this, all righteous and protective over the people she loves. So Sokka reluctantly looks. You're right to be upset, Katara says adamantly. You've been soul-bonded against your will to someone who was, until very recently, an enemy, who's been chasing us all around the world. What did you call him once? Some angry jerk with the ponytail? And in a very short time, you grew to care for him. I didn't! We all grew to care for him, Katara repeats aggressively, in the familiar tone that implies everyone shut up or else. So Sokka does. And then all this has to happen with Xiao and Azula, and Zuko goes missing, and now we don't know if he's dead or alive. He's alive. Or tortured. And it's awful and scary. Of course you're angry. Of course you're confused. And it's okay to hate the position you're in, Katara rants. I would too. I do. The clearing falls into silence, broken only by the siblings' harsh breathing. I hate him, Sokka pants. And he doesn't know if he means Zhao or Zuko or both, and himself too. I know, Katara says. There's nothing but patient understanding in her blue eyes when she looks at him, and somehow that weakens Sokka's anger to the point that it manifests as what it actually is. Grief. The next day, Toph finds the siblings deep in slumber and continues with a stamp of her foot to put back together the broken slabs of earth, like nothing happened. She doesn't ask, but allows Snoozles to sleep in longer before she goes to disturb him. When she finds out the story from Twinkletoes eventually, Toph spares a second to uncharacteristically wonder at the fucked-up world she's in and the trouble magnet of a group she's traveling with. She then, much more characteristically, goes to let it out on some unsuspecting rocks and swindling some roadside bandits. All in a day's work. 7 fucking months of being shut out. Sokka is going to shout at Zuko until both his eardrums rupture as payback, and he's going to rope Katara in too, when they finally find him and undoubtedly bring him back from the brink of death. Because as much as Zuko keeps Sokka out, he knows what Zhao and his goons are doing to him, torment shrouded as both pain and cruel pleasure, knows that they'd be spirit-stamped lucky to find Zuko still alive and unbroken at the end of this. The gold-blue thread on their soul bond thrums continuously. Sokka keeps alternately coaxing and yanking at it, but Zuko's mental barrier stays formidable and solid like the Fire Nation prince once was. The literal wall he's put up makes Sokka want to scream, but at the same time sob with relief. Because for as long as it's there, it means Zuko isn't dead yet. Is hanging on like the survivor he is, and so Sokka keeps hanging on to hope too. It's not a full moon when Sokka gets to glimpse the turtle duck pond again. Two eyes meet, liquid gold on blazing blue. Gold eyes flecked with amber, the same one Sokka had seen in his dreams every single night for months now. Zuko is gorgeous, with a fire lily in his hair, a smile that was awkward and shy, and just a little sweet playing on his lips. Sokka revels in the warmth of their linked hands. The smile slips off his face as dark closes in around them. A voice rasps, I'm sorry. I won't let him hurt you, too. And Sokka wakes up to his own voice pleading, fingers reaching out to nothing. It's dark and the dead of night, but Sokka has a name for where the darkness is now. The wolf begins its hunt. Toph snores and sleeps like the dead. Sokka uses this knowledge to great advantage, planning to steal away on Appa without involving Katara Wrath. People often forget that for all his 12 living, and 100 frozen, years, Aang knew a thing or two about tragedy. He spoke that language fluently, weaving through it with a lightness and grace that Sokka honestly envies. Of all things, it's a moment of Aang's levity that succeeds in momentarily breaking through Sokka's constant grim demeanor. Aang plants himself down with stealthy airbender feet as Sokka's saddling Appa in the dead of the night. No, Sokka says, even before Aang can open his mouth. Shoo! Go back to sleep! Where are you going? Fishing, Sokka deadpans. Ah, So apparently, as dead as his heart feels, his sense of humor isn't completely gone yet. Good to know. Aang, bless him and all his past lives, plays along. Can I come with you? No. Why? You need to sleep, Sokka lies through his teeth, like his soul bonded never could. Because you need to train with Toph tomorrow. I can train when we come back, Aang responds. No, you can't, Aang. Why not? Sokka drops all pretense and lets his ire flare. You know why. You're not going fishing. No, I'm not, Sokka hisses. It's going to be longer than an overnight trip, and you are not coming with me. Aang just looks at him. Katara's going to be really upset when she finds you gone. I'll be back before she knows it. Sokka doesn't say what he fears, that he needs her to stay here to avoid danger and be in top form, because he doesn't know what condition Zuko's going to be in if, when, they come back. Aang looks serious. I want to rescue Zuko too. It's too dangerous, Aang. You're the Avatar. You have a duty to the world. The only reason they haven't yet spent all their time and energy looking for Zuko these months. If anything happens... Zuko saved me from Pohai. It's only right for me to repay the debt. Sokka doesn't get the chance to poke holes in that logic, because Aang's next carefully phrased words feel like a punch to Sokka's soft, squishy insides. I want to regain my honor by paying that debt. Low blow, Aang. Nice try, but no, Sokka says tiredly. Aang's face falls. Sokka feels bad, but he's already being highly irresponsible by putting his own desire above the world's greater good. He can't drag the Avatar into it. Go to bed, Aang. You have a duty to greater good, yada yada. This isn't Avatar business. But it is Avatar business! Sokka throws up his arms. In what way? Aang looks like he's thinking hard. Then his eyes light up in inspiration. Oh! Avatar Roku! Wants me, us, to save our grandson! Sokka looks at him. Aang looks back. Sokka squints. Aang's expression only grows more earnest. What? Sokka's pretty sure he's channeling Zuko now. The memory of the bewildered expression the firebender ends up wearing when exposed to one of the gang's antics might have made him chortle once, but all it does now is make Sokka's heart clench painfully. So, in another twist of the axis of the world, Sokka learns that Zuko, and by extension, Psycho Fire Princess of the Fire Nation, destined enemy to Avatars and world peace as a whole, are technically a past Avatar's grandchildren. Aang's grinning, probably already plotting to welcome Zuko to his family with the flower crown. Wait, does the spirit semantics mean that Zuko is Aang's grandson? Or his sibling? Sokka's head hurts. Better than his heart hurting, at least. Aang wakes Katara and Toph, because we're a team! And then it's the four of them against the world together. On the flight there, Aang hesitates. What are you planning to do when you find Zhao? Sokka laughs, a humorless grating sound that is nothing like himself. Katara's lips tremble. Even Toph turns her head towards him, sightless eyes pulled into a frown. Why are you asking? Are you going to tell me to let that slimy mudball of a motherfucker leave in peace? Aang shakes his head. I'm not telling you what to do, the airbender says slowly. It's weird that his quiet words seem to have more gravity in them than Sokka's loud challenge. Just asking you to think about not resorting straight to murder. No! Sokka snarls, remembering the ghostly impressions of rough hands, Zuko's wide, terrified eyes, as the sky around them becomes a storm. It's less than the motherfucker deserves! It's not about what he deserves, Aang says. Sokka feels the wild urge to punch him. Monk Gyatso can go fuck himself, Sokka almost says, but he's not as much of a social disaster as a certain, much-missed firebender is, so he just about manages to stop himself. That's nice, Aang, Sokka begins, turning away. But I'm frankly not interested. I am telling you right now that I might kill him the next time I see him, Aang, and you will not stop me. Okay, Sokka. Aang's gray eyes are placid. Just make sure you can forgive yourself, too. Whatever that means. Sokka shrugs. It's one of those times he realizes just why Aang was the Avatar, and Sokka is decidedly not. He shuts his eyes and reaches again, out of habit. The soul bond hums, but no one answers. Sokka thinks of a dimpled smile, turtle ducks in a gentle palm, fire burning from within.
Hold on, Zuko. We're coming.